Never been any closer than I am right now. And one of my cousins who worked with the FBI, and then now he's retired. He's only a month difference in our ages. He come to hear me preach when I first started preaching. And he said, "You was preaching that Jesus was coming soon." Now, he's not a believer. But he said, "You was preaching that when I heard you and you was just a young man. Are you still preaching that?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You mean you're still preaching that?" I said, "Yes, I've never been any closer than I am right this very second to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." We don't want to ever give up that blessed hope for the church. A lot of doctrines have been watered down and diluted and changed in the holiness church. But I'm still preaching that Jesus Christ is coming again on his set time. At the hour that the Father taps him on the shoulder and says, "Go get my bride." I don't know how you believe it. However you believe it doesn't matter. I'm out of here when that happens. Praise the Lord. And I went down over, well, it's been well over 50 years ago now. And I got my ticket. And I'm standing at the station with my ticket in my hand. And when that trumpet sounds, I've got a car about a little more miles on than yours have. If you want it, you can have it when that trumpet sounds. Sister Rich and I have got a house, a pretty nice little house out there in Oklahoma, brick home. You've been there, Brother Robbie. It's not real big, but it's big enough for us because we're not going to be there forever. But anyhow, if that trumpet sounds and you've got a desire for a home of your own, you can have mine. Because we're out of here because I've been preparing and making preparation to go back with Jesus when he comes or calls for me. And I do not know, and you do not know, that day nor the hour. So the best thing to do is be prepared at that very moment that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad that, these younger ones here too, because it's my desire not to leave you a dead, dry church. Not to leave you an old worldly church that we don't know which way to go. It's my desire to set some landmarks for you and tell you this is the right way. Stay with the Word of God. Stay with the King James Version. And if it ain't King James, it's not Bible. Hallelujah. Stay with it. Oh, yes, stay with the pattern that's been set in the Word of God. And all a lot of us older preachers have marked the way. I'm not saying that Brother Ralston is a great senior now, way over there, but it's good to see him and his family here with Brother Ryan move down here to help them and to be with them. And I'm sure you'll draw a lot of strength and help from them as well. And it's good to see them here. But what we're striving to do, should the Lord leave some of you here and take us on out of here, we want you to know that the way has been marked clearly and plainly, that it is the way of holiness. No matter what the modernistics come out with, no matter how many changes are made in the surrounding area, there's still just one way to the pearly gate, and it's the old crossroad by that way called straight. Well, I want to read some scripture and preach a little bit. I'm going to take it a little easy on you this morning. Now, tonight might be a different story. How much I owe you for that comment? We'll talk later. praise the Lord. But, a group of young preachers was around one time where I was preaching. And they said, "Brother Rich, tell us how you do it." Said, "You never flop out." I said, "Yeah, I flop a lot." They said, "No, you don't ever flop." I said, "Oh, yes, I do. I flop sometimes. Sometimes it's my fault because I didn't pray and fast and study enough. And then sometimes it's not my fault." They said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Well, I caught a fish one time. He flopped too. And the reason he flopped, I had him out in a dry atmosphere. He could hardly breathe. So if I flop out today..." I think you can put the rest of it together, can't you? Hallelujah. Let us read from the book of Ecclesiastes, 11th chapter. Really do appreciate your great minister you have here at this church. Brother Ryan Ralston, his wife, they mean so much to us. We appreciate them. You have the 11th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Say amen. Amen. We'll wait just a moment for the rest of you to get it. Verse 1 of that chapter says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." Verse 4. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Verse 6. "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." Pastor, would you pray?
God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day you've given to us. We just ask you, Lord, to add your blessing to the reading of the word. We ask you, Lord, to anoint Brother Rich to declare your word. God, we just ask you to anoint every word, quicken his mind, Lord, and open our hearts to receive the things of God. Let it be said as you order it today, God. Meet us at this altar with your presence and your glory. Change us into the image of Jesus Christ. We'll praise you for it and call it done. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Let's look at verse 4 of this text. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." One of the tragedies of our day is we're waiting for a perfect environment to do something for God. So I want to preach to you today that he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. I don't know, in my mind, I can see a man going out into the field. He's got his seed. How many knows what broadcasting seed is? There's a few of you here knows. He's got his seed with him to sow his seed. And he said, "Yeah, it's a little bit windy today. I think I'll just let it go for a little while longer about sowing this seed." So he packs up and heads back to the house. Then later on, he realizes it's time to do some reaping. And he goes out and he looks at the cloud coverage. He said, "It could rain today. And so I'm going to just let this reaping go till there's a better environment." Hear what I want to tell you today. We've got a great harvest to reap. We've got something to do. And this man's fault is not that there was not anything to do. His fault was that he was waiting for that perfect environment. A day when there was no clouds in the sky and no wind. He was waiting till everything was just perfect. And if it wasn't perfect, he was packing up and heading back to the house. Listen to me. This man's fault is waiting for this environment, and he's looking for a perfect atmosphere. You see, I see so much of this in our holiness churches today. Clouds are unpredictable. The wind changes its course. We never know when there'll be a good day for soul winning. We never know when we get behind this sacred desk if we're going to reap a soul, or if God's going to send somebody into our midst that need to be saved. You never know when you talk to somebody with a personal witness what that witness is going to have or say to their heart. You say, "Well, I'm just waiting till everything gets just right, and then I'm going to do what I can for the Lord." And many times the church has waited so long for that cloudless day until a soul dies, goes out into eternity, and we say, "Well, I should have talked to them about the Lord. I should have said something to them about their soul." Yes, there is an expected time that God expects us to work. But while we wait for that perfect environment to go to work for God, many souls are lost forever. As most of you do, I do quite a bit of missionary work in different countries. The Lord has blessed me, I guess blessed some of the countries I didn't like that well, but he's blessed me to go into 26 countries and preach the gospel. And some of those countries, the harvest is still plenteous. But I'm wondering, while we travel and spend thousands of dollars to go to other countries to preach the gospel, right here at home is a perfect environment for reaching souls for Jesus. And our nation, which is supposed to be a so-called Christian nation, is quickly becoming a pagan heathen nation with all of the practices of the heathen and pagan people. I say nobody needs, unless they have a certain calling, something specifically that God's laid on your heart to go to a certain place, you don't have to go anywhere else to find a harvest of souls. They're right here at our fingertips. I remember one time Leon, my son, who's my, you know, he's my favorite young preacher, and guess what? I'm his favorite older preacher. Isn't that something? He said, "Dad, the older you get, the better you was." Hallelujah. I don't understand that one. He said, "Some folks say you're a legend in your own time, and I say you're a legend in your own mind." That's my son talking, you know. But my son and I were in a place that was hard to get to. It was a place called Boca de Trampa, which is the mouth of the trap, or the trap's mouth. To get there, Brother Otis, we had to get in a little plane in Panama City and fly to a place called Las Palmas. Then get in a ship that went out on the sea and go as far as we could go there, and then get out of that ship and go to a place called Sambu. And at Sambu, we got into a small boat and went up the river. And Leon was doubting all the way there. Said, "Dad, I don't think we're going to do any good. We've been too many things go wrong. I mean, like the plane quit on the way over there, and we had to land and take a forced landing. Little one-motor job, and the pilot gets out, opens that door, and he said, Leon said, what are we going to do now, Dad? And I said, "We're going to play that waiting game, see what's going to happen." And this man gets out with a tube chest, raises the hood on that little one-engine job, works on it for a little while, and goes up there and starts turning the propeller. First thing you know, he's got it going again. And here we go. Well, a lot of things had gone wrong. And on the way up there, we were delayed and delayed and delayed by different things. And Leon said, "Dad, I don't think we really ought to go." And I said, "I feel like maybe we'll win some souls." He said, "No." And someone told me that nobody had been in there preaching, but we found out that that was an error. But we found out it had been 50 years since anybody had been in that area telling them about Jesus. And I said, "Son, let's go on up there." We finally made it up there. And we got some nice looking people here, but Sister Rich seen those pictures. Those was the ugliest people I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they were terrible. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the ugliest, most of them would go 12 to 15 anyhow. I mean, they were really ugly. And I said, "Okay, Leon, let's meet the leader of this group." And we finally got a hold of the leader. And I said, "Leon, you preach today. This is a good opportunity to win you some souls. These people know nothing. They know nothing." And finally, the man in charge, he sent people around together, people in a little, just a roof hut with thatched roof. And he said we could have our service there and talk to the people there. People were coming in, standing, and quite a few people up in that little village, around 60 of them, come in there that morning or that afternoon. And I said, "Leon, you preach now." And he said, "No, Dad, I'm not going to do it. You have to do it." And I said, "No." He said, "I don't think it's going to do any good up here." I said, "Well, son, you better go ahead and try it. You know, you really need somebody when you're trying to win souls to say, 'Yeah, let's give it a try anyhow. Let's sow some seed, even if there are clouds in the sky. Even if it does look like it's going to be windy, let's sow some seed.'" I said, "Leon, go ahead." He said, "Nope, you go ahead, Dad." And I said, "Okay." So I took my place, not at a pulpit, nobody on padded pews, no music there. Conditions were not conducive for revival. I mean, it just wasn't right in a man's way of thinking. But I felt a burden to preach the gospel. And I started preaching about the great shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one of those sheep had gone astray. And God sent that shepherd to look for that one lost sheep. And the reason I'm here today, folks, was my words. I'm here looking for that one lost sheep. What I did not know, that 50 years before, a man come through that country telling them about Jesus, promised to come back and tell them some more. And an old man come to us and said, 50 years ago, there was a man through here, told us about that, and told us he'd come back. He said, I was young then. I've waited 50 years, and he never did come back, but said, at last, you've come to tell us. And I started preaching that message. And the first thing you know, I was given an invitation. Don't expect to get out that quick today, but I was given an invitation about 30 minutes. And as I was given the invitation, Leon tapped me on the shoulder and said, Dad, look. Said, the older people are coming. And then he tapped me again and said, Dad, look, the young people are coming. He said, Dad, the children are coming. Said, the whole village is coming for salvation. Listen, sometimes when that wind blows that seed right back in your face, you need a harvest so bad that you'll just go on out there and keep on sowing. And the holiness people is needing a harvest so bad in our churches. We cannot observe the wind. We cannot look at the clouds. We've got to go out there and win the loss for Jesus Christ. Sometimes it may seem like you're not doing any good. The wind may seem too high. There may be too many problems around in your mind, but keep on sowing. Sow your seed in the morning, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not which shall be good, this or that. Hear what I'm telling you today. We have a story in Acts 24 where this great man Paul is preaching and he's standing before a Roman governor named Felix and his wife Drusilla. And Paul gave him the word of God and he heard him concerning his faith in Christ. But as this great preacher preached to him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. He felt the convicting power. He felt the Spirit of the Lord tugging at his heart. Felix was convicted by Paul's testimony. He realized he needed to make a change. Paul's message had convinced him of his lost condition. Yet he makes this statement, go thy way for this time. At some more convenient season, I will hear thee on this matter. How many have walked out the doors of this church, the holy church of God? How many have said, I'm come back and get right with God when conditions are different? How many people have promised you, Pastor, when I get well and get out of the hospital, I'm coming to church, and you never see them? They're waiting for a perfect condition, environment. It's not coming. It's only when the church ceases a moment, when we realize this is the day of salvation, when this is the hour to do something for God, when this is a time to rise up, young men, young women, don't wait till you're old like Brother Rich is 75 years old. Oh, don't expect me to do all the sowing, I'm telling you. Don't expect me to do all the reaping, but I'm still willing to do my part. But as far as we know, this man, Felix, was never convinced and never converted from his sin. He waited till his season had passed, and for this same reason, some of you sitting right here may be lost in eternity because you're waiting for a better day. Oh, yes, I hear excuses like this. Yes, I'm going to make a change, but there's something I got to get straightened out first. When I get this done, I'm going to change. And when I get this settled with my family, and when I get this taken care of, let the dead bury the dead. And let's go preach the gospel and win the lost. Now, let me talk to us here. Here we are gathered together in this assembly right here today. Some of you may have came here with this mindset. Oh, if the Spirit gets to moving just right, if old Brother Rich gets a hold of it and don't flop out, and the Holy Ghost starts moving, I'm going to get in and worship God. But if it's not, nothing like that, I'm just going to sit here like we're doing right now. And I'm not going to lift a hand. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to sit there because the environment's not right. Say, I don't feel like praising the Lord. More reason you should be praising the Lord. More reason you should be worshiping. The more reason you should be getting behind the preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we have a perfect time. It doesn't seem like it, but we have a perfect harvest. Here in 2010, the world is so full of uncertainties, but souls are also searching for something that's certain and sure and steadfast. And there's no other place sinners can put their feet except on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and face the future with certainty in their hearts that everything's going to be all right regardless of what happens. We need to sow that seed. Brother Robbie, there's so much out there to be done and so few workers. So many that are not willing to sacrifice. They want to stay in their comforts of their home. And yeah, we got to stay here where we can have everything just like we wanted. And if that's what God wants you to do, fine. But let me tell you, saints and preachers alike, the harvest is truly plenteous. There's nothing wrong with the harvest. It's still there. I mean, look at the golden grain of souls that's waving. His brother here loosened up his purse strings and took me out for shrimp last night. And I saw a lot of lost people there at that place. Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, the majority of them was ordering up those. All right, tell me, he's eating a place where he had beer, huh? They're ordering up them long neck bottles of beer. And Brother Ryan said, well, they're bringing ours. And then he said, no, they're not. I see them long neck bottles of beer. That wasn't ours. We was eating a place called Love. Some of you may have eaten there before. That's where we was eating. But what I'm telling you, there's no reason that we have so many empty spaces out in these pews here. No reason why we cannot go out and knock on a few doors. No reason why we can't do something, Brother Jeff, for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, Sister Rich, she's traveled with me a lot of places. I mean, I've had her in places that wasn't very accommodating at all, like over there in Siberia. That's a rough place, I'm telling you. You've been in Siberia, you'll know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's so cold over there. And when it does break for summer, it's just a short season. Say, well, what were you doing there? Sowing seed. Sowing seed. What was I doing in the Ukraine? Sowing seed. What was I doing in Croatia? Sowing seed. What was I doing in Kosovo? Sowing seed. Oh, yes. What was I doing in Albania? Sowing seed. Oh, yes. Let me tell you, they told me in Albania, brother, said our country is very hard pressed. It in Croatia, because Yugoslavia is right there, and that man, remember that mean guy's name started with an M? He's killing so many Croatian Christians. You remember that back a few years ago? Well, I was over at the time. And they said, Brother Rich, you got to be very careful. So if you preach, don't preach against the government, and don't say nothing against the Catholic Church. That's what my interpreter told me. And I said, okay, I'll do my best. And so I was preaching. Preached two nights and very little response. Third night, I thought, well, they can't do a whole lot to me except take my life. And my subject was, we have a high priest. We don't need no earthly priest. We have a high priest. And I started sowing that seed of Jesus Christ, our high priest, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, who's a mediator between God and man. He's the one that we can bring our petitions to. He's the one that we must come through to be saved. No man can forgive your sins. Like Brother Travis taught today, no man can give you the gifts of the Spirit. Well, nobody can give you salvation as much as we want our lost loved ones, our lost children, and those around us saved. We cannot give them salvation. And I was up preaching about Jesus. And my interpreter said, you sure you want me to say that? And I said, come on, brother. You're supposed to be interpreting for me. I haven't got you here to tell me what to preach. I just got you here to interpret for me. Let's go now. And I kept preaching and preaching. He'd balk once in a while. We better not say it. Come on, let's go. You know what? Before I finished my message, sowing no seed, I was already reaping a harvest. And souls was getting up out of their seats, coming down to the front to find Jesus. Don't be afraid to cast those seeds in places where you think it won't do no good. Go ahead. Even if the clouds are hanging low. Now at 75 years of age, the clouds are hanging pretty low. And the wind is coming up some. And I know some of the seed that I sow, according to Mark 4, is going to fall by the wayside. Fowls is going to devour it. And I know that some seed will fall on stony ground and have no depth, and the sun's going to scorch it. And then I know that some may fall among thorns and be choked. But who knows? I might get one seed on good ground. And if I do, it'll bring forth some 20, some 40, some 60, some 100-fold. Oh, yes. The revival I was saved in went 2 weeks. Is one soul saved? Best revival I've ever been in. Because I was that one. That evangelist might have went away and said, boy, that was the sorriest revival I've ever had. But Don Rich got saved. No, there's no way of knowing then that God was going to call me to preach. I just want to unload that heavy load that every sinner carries. I just want to get out from under that condemnation that was on my heart, on my soul, on my life. That's why I was in that altar praying. And boy, these people are pretty good around Savannah here, but I believe the people that prayed me through was better. That whole church, I mean, almost 100% was around me. I couldn't have got up if I'd have wanted to get up. They didn't only stay with me and pray with me till I knew I was saved. They stayed there till they knew I was saved. They got the victory too. And they started shouting in the victory because they knew I was saved. Hey, we need that kind of concern, sowing the seed. You'd be surprised at the people. Well, I'll go hear him if I don't like him. Well, hey, that man's up there trying to sow some seed. Amen. Trying to do something for the Lord. Listen, I can't wait till the atmosphere. Somebody answer that now. I was up in, where was that, Portland, Maine, Sister Rich, when I accidentally left my cell phone on. And I didn't know Brother Morey was trying to call me. And that preacher didn't turn that service to me till after 9:30 that night. And 9:30, he turned it to me, and I got up to preach. And I was up preaching, and I had my cell phone on, and it went off. And I grabbed that thing. I thought I was turning it off. I said, hey, if this is a devil, that's what I said. If this is a devil, tell all hell I'm not coming. Put it back in my pocket. And I thought I had it shut off and rang again. And I took it out and I said, hey, devil, I done told you, tell hell I'm not coming, that's it.
Come on.
Well, two or three days later, Brother Morey comes to this church. He called me and said, I don't know what's going on the other night, Brother Rich. So I'm trying to get a hold of you, and said, somebody kept saying, calling, saying something about the devil. Well, I stayed kind of silent for a little while. But what I was doing up there was sowing the seed, and the enemy was trying to interrupt. You cannot afford to let the enemy interrupt. You got to keep on preaching. The devil may give you a call, but you just hang up on him and keep on preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, what are we waiting for, church? Oh, you say, well, I might waste some seed, Brother Rich, if I get up and sing a song. There may not be no response, and nobody may love it, like it at all. Or I might preach a sermon and nobody is interested, something's sleeping. Go ahead and sow the seed. Oh, that's your obligation. Oh, we cannot cause some soul to be saved and give them salvation, but our job is sow the seed. Soon the cry will be made by millions. The harvest is past. Summer is ended, and we're not saved. Oh, my Lord. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. So why don't we just go ahead and challenge the elements. Say, blow, wind, blow. My job is to sow the seed. Come on, rain and fall if you have to, but I'm going to reap the harvest. I'm going to do everything that I can, even if the elements seem to be against me. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you're on 75, seem like the elements is against you. Some of the older ones know about that. Get up, wait till about three bones pop before you start moving, you know. But you got to go on and do the work of the Lord. I preach nearly every night. I got sick down here in Savannah when I was here before. And thank you all for taking good care of me. And I've had a rough year this year. I've been in the hospital a couple times. But God's been so good. And you know, some of my own family, some of them said, now, Dad, or you've given over 50 years of your life. Just settle back. Take it easy. How can I? When there's a world that's lost without Jesus. How can I settle back and take it easy when I've got such an obligation on me to win the lost for Jesus Christ? Sir, if you're here without the Lord, you'll never find a better atmosphere. Today is a day of salvation. Remember the man I prayed with there in Kansas City? And he told me, he said, I'm not going to give my heart to the Lord today, but he said, when you come back, said, I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. So I was raised in a Christian home, but I've never been saved, but said, I know how to pray. Said, you just go on, and maybe when you come back, I'll already be saved. Said, I'm going to pray. I drove from the hospital to my house, and Sister Rich said, somebody wants you on the phone. And I went to the phone. There's a sister to this man, and she said, did my brother pray? I said, no, he didn't, but he said I could come back and see him tomorrow. I said, he won't be there tomorrow. He went on while you was on your way home. A golden opportunity to get right with God. Sir, you're not here by accident. If you're here and you're lost, you're not here by your own choosing. But God made a divine appointment for you to be here to hear Brother Don Rich today. It's an appointment you cannot cancel because you didn't make it. Oh, you can't change it. Like I went in the other day, and that voicemail I have on my phone, I hit it to listen to my calls, and a caller come in about 2 or 3 weeks before, said, this is the lady that works at so-and-so's dental office. I just called to remind you of your appointment. It's already passed. I changed that one. But this is one you're not going to change. Are you ready? Are you prepared? No, you didn't accidentally make it here or come in because somebody invited you. But today, God's given you an opportunity to get your sins washed away. Oh, aren't you glad that that fountain of blood is still there? There's still a cleansing there. There's still an open fountain. We just finished the camp meeting down for the Caraways way down in Lake Placid, Florida. We saw several coming to pray. I hope some of them stays with it. That's one of the problems we're having nowadays. We're seeing people come and pray, but you go back and look for them, and they're hard to find. But there is still an opportunity to get completely in the church of the living God. And when Jesus comes back again, he's not coming after Ryan Ralston, nor Don Rich, nor any of you. He's coming after his bride, the church. And I want to be in that church, don't you? As I close today, I cannot afford to wait for a perfect environment. I cannot wait till I'm feeling better to preach. I cannot wait till there's no dark clouds in the sky. I cannot wait till my pockets are bulging and running over to start doing missionary work. I got to step out by faith and go ahead and sow the seed. And you know what? God's got a law. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, I believe we can win the harvest still. How many has unsaved loved ones? Nearly every hand's going up. How many have unsaved children? And now how about grandchildren? Now we're going to thin it down a little bit. How about great-grandchildren that's lost? Oh, we've got the message. We've got what they need. We've got what the world's looking for. They may think that they found a certain degree of happiness that soon passes away. But I've been saved now for well over 50 years. And my friend said, it'll be past, it'll be gone, you'll soon be back over here with us. And I'm not that tough now by no means, but I was pretty tough back then. So some of them call me the tough cookie. But I'm telling you, at that altar that night, the tough cookie crumbled in the presence of the Lord. And I found Jesus after 55 years. I never have went back. I'm not saying I've never been discouraged. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I never have felt like that I wasn't accomplishing anything. There's times when I felt that way. But for 55 years, I've been running toward that precious, precious city that Abraham saw years ago. Anybody here saved over 50 years? I see your hand. Oh, I knew Sister Shipes would go up, and another hand back at Brother Bob Purefoy. That's a long time to stay saved. But you know what? We don't keep ourselves. That's the great secret of it all. If you had to keep yourself, you wouldn't last a day. I wouldn't last even the day out. But Brother Leroy, we're kept by the power of God. All around us here today, you can't see them, but there's angels encamped round about them that fear Him. And it's so good to know that I know Him like I know Him. How many knows Him? I know Him so well that the world has no allurements for me anymore. I mean, I have no desire to go to the things of the world. The places of the world don't pull me. They don't entice me. Not because I'm so holy. It's just that I've found something so much better. Like the guy on the plane said, "You're from Norman, Oklahoma. How's the OU Sooners doing?" That's a football team out there at OU University. I said, "I don't know. I don't keep up with that." And I had my Bible out. He said, "You don't know about your own team?" I said, "Sir, it's not my team." He said, "You knew there?" And I said, "No, I've lived there about 30 years, but it's not my team." I said, "I used to be interested in things like that till I got interested in this book I'm reading right here." Oh, thank God for something better than what the world has to offer. I hope I don't hit a snag here. If I do, I'm going to keep on sowing. I might even sow a little holiness if it gets too tight here. I'm talking about getting an experience that your goal becomes heaven. Oh, and you're determined not to let nothing stop you, and you want to take as many people with you as you can. Oh, that should be the desire of the church here, Holy Church of God. Got a wonderful church here. And I love every one of you so much. And it's really a treat for me to be able to come and your pastor invite me here to and open the pulpit to me. That's a treat. But when you stop and think about it, we are all in that same body. We all belong, every believer belongs to the Lord. And you got to get to like Him if you don't, because if you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. We're going to be together forever, a long, long time. Hallelujah. I want to ask a question here today. A question that if an angel was here, he could not answer the question. If a demon from hell was here, he could not answer the question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What excuse are you going to give to God? And church, what excuse are we going to give to God if we fail to reach the lost? Looking back here at a lady right now, about 25 years ago, I was preaching. She walked down the aisle. Remember that, sister? Yes, she does. Oh, hallelujah. So good to see some souls that you've helped gather in. But remember, we didn't save any of them. It's the Lord that saved them, but we scattered the seed. Stand with me, please. Yeah, I'm sorry, I went a little over 12. You let them out at 12 o'clock, Brother Ryan? Not always, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to give an invitation if it's all right. I feel like there's somebody here you've been thinking about your soul salvation. Where will you spend eternity? Where will you be? Where will you be? Whenever life ceases, that old heart beats the last time, they pull the sheet over you and you're going into long eternity. Too late then to pray if you're not ready. Too late then to try to get right with God. Oh, I remember when one man, he backslid and his son committed suicide. And he'd been a deacon in the Holiness Church. And him and his wife backslid and lived such a shabby life before his son, that his own son, committed suicide. A young teenage boy. And after he had committed suicide, this man saw me as he was making the funeral arrangements. He ran to me, took me around the neck, and took me clear to the sidewalk. And said, Brother Rich, pray for Leland. Pray for my son. Pray for my son. He just took his own life. And being the kind of man I am, Brother Leroy, I told him, I said, too late to pray. You should have stayed in church. You and your wife should have stayed in there and served the Lord. That's why he went to the peppermint twist and started playing his guitar over there in a rock and roll dive for young people. Because mom and daddy backslid and went back on God. Hey, it's too late once that ticker quits and you're out in long eternity. Could I see one hand lifted and say, Brother Rich, I'm not ready to meet the Lord, but I want you to pray for me that I'll get ready to meet the Lord. Would you raise that hand quickly right now in the name of Jesus? Say, preacher man, pray for me. I want to be ready to meet Jesus when he comes or calls for me. Raise that hand in the name of Jesus. I'm sowing the seed this morning. I'm telling you, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I'm telling you, his blood washes away sins. I'm telling you, when he died on Calvary, he had you on his mind. One hand lifted anywhere in this congregation.